Good morning, Adam.
Thanks, Howard. I mean, I think that there's an influx of information like never before, in that the scientific information getting being generated alone on a daily basis is massively more than ever before. Not only that, we're flooded and bombarded with information through all sorts of social media channels. And we all have these amazing, powerful platforms where we can almost instantly project our own belief or view. And what we're finding more and more on these social media platforms is they reinforce our own views, because we're in this sort of what we call a social media echo chamber, you know, where you follow people who confirm your own beliefs. And there's this idea of confirmation bias, where you seek out, even in a social media context, the information that you believe to be true. So this is so evident when it comes to vaccines.
Right. Because in other words, what you're saying is we decide on a narrative. Once we've decided on a narrative, then we seek new sources, no matter whether they're credible or not, that backs up that story.
Right. We seek new sources that confirm our own thinking, and then we're unable to get out of that paradigm, especially if we've had so much reinforcement of that thinking over time, and especially if we seek it out to try and confirm our own belief. So that creates an interesting dynamic where we've had a reinforcement of our own belief to such an extent that we can't imagine that another possibility is true. And I think this is happening with, you know, there are two interesting social phenomena right now. The one is this idea of vaccines, and the other is the flat earth movement, where people believe that the earth is actually flat.
Is that even a thing?
This is a serious thing. This is.
And are these? I mean, I don't mean to sound awful, but are they not maybe special needs people?
These are people who
are these
well
normal people
educated,
that you might bump into at the mall whilst they're shopping.
These are well educated
at a shopping.
People,
yeah.
You might think are, you know. People who...
So you'd bump into them and you'd never know that they're a flat earth person.
Correct. Anyone could be a flat earth
person.
Wow. And the flat earth movement is gaining a lot of traction at the moment. Unbelievably so.
What do you think it is? You know, and I think you're quite right. It's a very astute observation that it's almost like a category, a flat earth, anti-vaxxers, all of these types of, very alternative, maybe more conspiracy theorists that probably believe that that America didn't land on the moon. That type of, what do you think it is that A, draws people to that, and B, that even allows this information to be perpetuated?
There must be a discerning mind there that's trying to figure out what's really going on, maybe not as trustful. And in some universe, this type of person would make an outstanding scientist, where a scientist wants to ask.
Yes, because they're pushing boundaries, I guess.
They're asking, you know, they want to ask a question, they have a probing mind about
the
something.
Wrong questions.
But what's inevitably happening is this maybe paranoia, or I don't want to call it curiosity, because it feels like it's something different from that. This paranoia is being channeled in a way that sends them off in a direction. Or they were already there and they're looking for information to try and confirm their belief that is the conclusion. And no matter what, that is my conclusion. I will believe it no matter what. And this movement is starting to, I mean, flat earth is seemingly more harmless. People seem to think that flat earth was trolling.
Right. Like, I don't care if somebody, if Zanati thinks that the earth is flat, well, good luck to her. It's not going to impact on me. But if Zanati doesn't vaccinate her child, then it does.
Yes, so I think there is an intellectual harm being done to the collective society, but whether or not we have a dire consequence as a result of it, flat earthing, it seems as though these people must be trolling us online, and it's hard to tell the difference between someone who's trolling you or poking fun at you versus someone who's very serious, because tone is lost on the internet. This is a common phenomenon.
Of course.
But when it comes to measles or another vaccine, nowadays we're seeing a resurgence of these conditions like measles, which was previously thought to be a very well-managed condition from the numbers.
Right.
Now, the resurgence is risky, and I want to just mention why that is so. It's not just because of the potential deaths of measles. Okay. Measles causes deaths. I mean, the vaccine is estimated to save approximately 1 million lives per year for measles alone.
Right.
But when these viruses come back into biological hosts, they have the opportunity to mutate and spread.
Ah, so actually, even somebody who is vaccinated can land up with a different form of that, which is potentially very dangerous.
So potentially, and if there is a change, because these viruses evolve, they change in their biology rapidly.
Right.
When given the opportunity in a host, they're more likely to have the opportunity to change.
Leslie said, it's not a discerning mind. It's people who have nothing better to do than look for issues. I posted this morning on Facebook about a movement to not tickle children in case they do not give consent, and to even tell your children when you're changing their nappies so that they should have autonomy over their bodies. OMG. They are not called anti-vaxxers. They are called pro-plaguers. Right, but so here's the question: is you know, as we have this tsunami of information, I'm imagining, and you're in the world of innovation, that we're going to start seeing ways that that information is being going to be sifted, tested for truth before it gets disseminated. I can only imagine that that has to happen.
There is an attempt to start to do that, to stem the tide of false information. However, people are feeling that their right to share information that they believe is being infringed upon in that
Right, because, of course, who's the watchdog? Who gets watchdog? To decide what is acceptable and what isn't?
And there are certain areas, and I'm not talking about vaccines or flat earth at the moment.
Right, then you go to politics.
Absolutely. There are certain areas where there is great ambiguity, where there is uncertainty, where is room for opinion. Of course.
Right.
And I'm also not saying don't ever question, because if science, for instance, never questioned, we would never make any progress whatsoever.
Right.
Science is quite an objective kind of meandering path towards what we believe to be scientific truth.
Right.
If that truth is never questioned, we will never reimagine a new truth which is iterated from that truth. And at the moment, we're seeing a distrust that's growing in science due to false information that's out there. A distrust that is probably unfounded, that is based often in fear or based in conspiracy, and it's resulting in a real loss of progress for us.
Yeah. It's quite incredible, because it also wastes an unbelievable amount of time. You know, I spent, because of the show and because of the writing that I do, I don't take many articles unless it's from an absolute credible source. I don't take it seriously. If I do see something, you know, then I'll go to a site like Snopes, which tests these theories. The problem is that I've noticed even on Snopes, there's become a political bias. If I'm trying to test something with regard to the American political system, I know where they're sitting. So they're going to try and find a way to manipulate or to massage something into their type of thinking. So even our watch bodies are problematic because they've also got a gender. Now, when it comes to science, of course, that's something completely different. Your anti-vaxxers or whatever our listeners call them, our pro-plaguers, it's a different story, because it is fact, and it's been proven that this whole autism thing is complete rubbish. It was retracted. It was proven to be nonsense. The flip side of it is, as you've mentioned, a million deaths just on measles alone if we stop doing that. So that's quite simple to prove, not simple. It should be simple, but yet it still persists.
It still persists. But you know, a new study came out. It was announced in media just this morning. A new study was just released that says that researchers have once again shown that vaccines, and specifically the MMR, the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, does not cause autism. This has been tested in a Denmark population between 1999 and 2010.
And they're the happiest people in the world. So therefore, got to be right. Yeah.
And in this specific study, they looked at a large spectrum of individuals, over 600,000 children were tracked.
Right.
And 95% of these children had received vaccines. And there was no possible correlation shown between the vaccine and autism.
Right.
Now, in fact, people are actually saying just this morning, vaccines are shown probably not to cause autism. So the people who were unvaccinated seemingly had slightly more incidence of autism. we really have to treat our voices with, now that there's such democratization around the ability to share our information and our content and our beliefs, mm. we have to start respecting them more. We have to start
and
treating ourselves
with more respect.
And I guess
what we have to do is maybe be responsible ourselves. So when somebody puts on my time feed that, you know, this is what doctors don't want you to know, that you can basically cure cancer with a slice of ginger and a squish of lemon, you know, if as long as you drink that at 12 o'clock every day while standing on one leg in the doorway, as you know, we've got to push back and say, stop it. This is dangerous talk, and it's giving people that are going through hell the wrong message. It's giving them hope. It's absolute nonsense. No. Yes, oncologists might make money for, you know, because they have the expertise and they're providing a phenomenal service. But if they're clever people, if they didn't have to cure cancer or fight with cancer every day, they would do something else and make a living. So, you know, I think we've got to get away from this. I think we are so drawn to this type of conspiracy theory. Maybe because it just makes the world more simple in some ways. I don't know.
I think there's a few points in what you're saying which are very, very intriguing. And one thing is for sure is that we do not know everything by any means. You know, there's still great exploration going on. We don't know everything about every disease process. We don't understand how the brain works. We don't understand this and that. There is a lot that is well understood and well documented that has taken a rigorous method to get us to a place that is successful. We need to try and discern which are those places, which are those areas. And very importantly, we need to trust that information source and have that discerning mind. And I think on the spread of this information, whenever there's volatility of opinion or there's a difference between people who argue about something or there's something to do with fear or excitement, that causes an amplification of information. I read a paper a while back. Mm. The tweets that are most retweeted, so the most successful tweets, had the biggest difference between positive and negative sentiment. The most disparity within a given tweet between positive and negative sentiment caused the amplification of that tweet.
Right.
And that's a phenomenon we're not going to stop very quickly.
Right. As we seek outrage, because that's what we do. We have to continue this conversation next week. It's a fascinating one, and I can see that this is one that you're interested in as well. We are going to do that. Adam Pantanovitz, thank you as always for being in studio. And Adam is he's on the faculty of Singularity University. Absolutely mind-blowing, very, very interesting way of looking at the future and looking at innovation and how we make sense of this crazy world. It is 8:26.